Now, I want to thank you for the many prayers that have gone up for last week's services in the Edmonton Church Conference. I must say that the Lord has helped. And of course, I could have done better, but that's on my part. But God did the best he could, and you did the best you could in praying. And I thank you for that with all my heart. And I believe that we are a privileged people in this country. When you read of how many people in the world don't have enough to eat every day, it's staggering. It's actually makes you kind of think when you eat your cake and your delicious foods the next time, how many children, how many poor people in the world don't have enough to eat. And oftentimes, none of that is their fault. They were born into very poor circumstances. And we have a country where we have plenty. We say, well, it could be a lot better. Of course it could be. But I think all of those who give thanks and praise to God and praise to his name, that should include us, and we should make that a priority. It's not uncommon that we have a Christmas list, usually for presents we buy or gift cards or Christmas cards that we want to write. We have a list, and we draw up New Year's resolutions. This is what I would like to see happen in the new year. This is my vision, and this is what I want to accomplish. But another list that we often overlook is the list of thanksgiving. What should we thank God for every day? Well, I read a compilation, if you will, of several housewives that made a list of what they're thankful for. And this is very down-to-earth stuff. They said this: we are thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back for their after-dinner snacks. We are thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. There's two more. We thank God for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. LOL. That's a language. I don't want to go into that, but we thank God for smoke alarms, smoke detectors, because they let us know when the turkey is done. There you go. I didn't know that smoke detectors had that effect. But I remember we did have alarms at times when the turkey was done. I once tried to deep fry a turkey. I'll never do that again. Almost set the house on fire. But it was delicious, though. But the turkey fell apart that I had to fish it out of the oil. I won't do that one again. I'm sure that we have major things to be thankful for, and one of them, of course, is that we can have faith in God, that we have had people that showed us the plan of salvation, that we had a church family to go to, that we have a church home. And oftentimes, I will have a conversation with a person and I ask the person, do you have a church home? And sometimes they just look at me, what do you mean a church home? Well, where you go to church. all the time. I mean, every week. Oh, I sometimes go to this and this church. But what is your church home? What is the family, the Christian family circle that you call your spiritual home, your spiritual family? That is so important. So if you don't have a church home, I encourage you to become part of a church family, and hopefully this church family, that you can call your church home. Because who do you want to call on when you get sick, when you're in the hospital, or when you urgently need prayers, when you're in a very bad situation, in a crisis? Who do you want to call on? And who's supposed to bury you when you die? And what is the pastor going to say when you die? You know, I sometimes think about those things. It's important that we have church homes and that we thank God for a church family. We're all imperfect people. We all have flaws. God made us that way, and we cannot be perfect. Nobody can. So anyway, I wanted to say that before going into the Psalm 100. God said to Israel, and this Psalm 100, it was written for Israel, that they would come and enter the gates of the temple with thanksgiving. They should come with a joyful, jubilant, grateful heart into the presence of God. In Deuteronomy, we read, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes, and you have plenty to eat, God says to Israel, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness, and I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, God is reminding Israel, every time you sit down, every time you enjoy your feasts, remember me, says God. And that's a bottom line. That's the basis of thanksgiving, is remembering where it all comes from. There's a real danger in this season that we determine our thanksgiving and we base it on how much we have. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself and gain some pounds? Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we thank God for all that. But the psalmist says that all of these things may change at any time, but our God doesn't change. Look at verse 1. If we start in the beginning and we scan the verse, enter his gates. Let me quickly read this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. So you'll find the name of the Lord in the beginning. And that's where thanksgiving begins. By exalting the name of the Lord. By singing our hallelujahs to him. And here's the theological explanation of hallelujah. Yah is part of Yahweh, meaning the Almighty. Hallelu means to lift up and to praise the Almighty. That's the theological explanation. Not too long, right? So anyway, the name of the Lord. In verse 2, you have the name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates, the Lord's gates, with thanksgiving, meaning come into his presence with grateful hearts. That is pleasing to the Lord. That is our offering. That is our sacrifice, the sacrifice of our lips, praise to his name. And with that, we need to enter into his presence. And that is the basis for all thanksgiving. I read about Alex Haley, who is the author of the book Roots. Roots is actually a series of documentary on slavery in the South. And he was a good writer. And he had an unusual picture hanging in his study. And that picture showed a turtle on top of a fence post. And he was asked, Alex Haley was asked, why do you have that picture in your study? He said, every time I write something profound, I write something significant, every time I'm successful in life, every time I feel blessed, I look at that picture and I tell myself, as that turtle did not get on that fence post by itself, because could you imagine a turtle climbing up on a fence post? I don't think so. Somebody helped him up. So that's me. That's me on a fence post. That's God giving us and putting us in a position that we could never reach without him. Isn't that neat? I love that. We cannot do anything without him. So the Psalm 100, gives us five commands what to do in regards to thanksgiving. The first one is, I want to go back to verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, we don't like shouting. I mean, come on, let's just keep it quiet. Shout for joy? But don't you often feel that you shout inside? You're so grateful and you're so you're rejoicing, and as you rejoice, you are to shout for joy to the Lord. Now, you can do that in the shower. Nobody hears you. You can do that in your prayer closet. You can shout for joy. It doesn't hurt. Now, we don't want to do that in the church because we don't want to wake up others that are dozing off. And so we don't shout, and especially German background, we don't shout. I understand that, but the Bible says shout for joy to the Lord, so you have to deal with that. There was a missionary, and this is one of the things when I look back that I wished I would have been, a medical missionary, a doctor and a missionary. Isn't that cool? This missionary was in India for many years, and he was in an area, a whole region that suffered, where people suffered from progressive blindness. They were born with good eyesight, and slowly, many of them became blind. And he researched it, and he found a solution, and he helped a lot of people. And this was in a certain area where they spoke a certain dialect, was not shared with the rest of the country. And as people came and they received their eyesight, they never said thank you, because the word thank you was not in their language. That reminds me of a lot of people that never say thank you, even though the words thank you is in their language, right? But these people, they didn't have the vocabulary of actually saying thank you. Instead, what they said was this: I will tell your name. That was the way of saying thank you. I will tell your name. And that's what the Lord means in Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Meaning, tell the name of the Lord to everybody. So when people were cured of their blindness, they would say, I will tell your name. I will spread the word, because I do like what you did to me. You helped me. The second command here is serve the Lord with gladness. Now, can we put serving and gladness in the same sentence? The Bible does. Serving with gladness. Now, we know how it is to serve with grumbling, to serve with complaining, to just do our duties. And if you have the attitude that you are pleasing God by fulfilling your duty to come to church once a week and you have done your duty, don't have that attitude anymore. Because serve the Lord with gladness. Come to church with thanksgiving and come willingly. Come with gladness and serve Him. How do we serve Him? It doesn't say here, you need to serve the church, you need to serve your husband, your wife, you need to serve the preacher, you need to, no, it says serve the Lord. But how does one serve the Lord? Now, Jesus explained it this way. If you see somebody hungry, feed him. That's serving the Lord. If you see somebody that needs clothing, give to that cause. And then he says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. So every day, this attitude of serving and giving. And not just money or material goods, but being there for a person, being there to listen, is also serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. The third command is, come before Him with joyful songs. Another passage says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, we heard that today. It was pretty joyful, wasn't it? I was like, when they finished playing, I thought, man, I wish they could play all over again. I just would sit down and listen the whole time. I love it when you guys play. So, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I want you to be happy. I want you to express gladness, the Lord says. And oftentimes, we forget to express that thankfulness, that gratefulness, that gladness that God wants us to have. Because we are so conditioned by circumstances. And oftentimes, we're conditioned by our own moods. You know, have you heard the word mood swing? The mood swings, or up and down. God says, express joy, express gladness. And that is the third command. The fourth one is, know that the Lord is God. Know that He is in control. Know that He has not been dethroned. God cannot be dethroned. No one can impeach Him. No one can fire Him. And guess what? No one can sue Him either. That doesn't work. He's above everything. It is He who made us. We are His. And we did not make us ourselves. He made us. He made us inside and out. And maybe you have looked in the mirror one time in your life and you thought, oh God, what did you make? I don't like what you made. You know, I thought about it this morning. How God made me and let me be the size that I am and the voice that I have. And I wish I had this really deep, nice, romantic voice. I don't. I wish I had this perfect look. I mean, perfect hair. Pitch black hair like the brother back there. I don't. And you know, when the angels were there, when I was supposed to be born, they said, you know, God, make this fellow so he will have long arms, 37 sleeves, not 36, not 35. That's not long enough. Make it 37. So it's hard for him to get a shirt or to get a suit. But I thank God. I cannot change my size. And you know, when I thank God, when I'm in the grocery store and someone asks me, can you reach that for me? And I say, yeah. That feels good, doesn't it? Then you know why God made my long arms so long. I'm actually not that tall. I just have long legs and they push me up. That's all. But God made us. He made us and we not ourselves. Everyone is unique, and thank God for how he made you. And once you start thanking him, Lord, I know I'm still made in your image because I have a relationship with you and I know that you love me. And he loves us just as we are because that's how it pleased him to let us come into this world. So let's go to number five. He actually says here, we are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Now, many of us would like to be shepherds, would like to be in control of our lives and control of others. Now, we may be under shepherds, but we still all are sheep. Me too. We're all his sheep. And sheep are actually dumb because they tend to wander off and they always need guidance. And we have to admit and thank God that he provides the guidance and sees our helplessness and our lostness, that without him we are nothing, we cannot find our way, but he has provided everything. He gave us his word, he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us church families, he gave us direction, and he helps us when we pray to him. Thank God that as the sheep of his pasture, we can find direction and we can find spiritual nourishment and food in his word, which is the truth that will stand forever and ever. Command number five, and then I want to close. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is what? Good. And his mercy and love endure forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His faithfulness is upon you and me. His faithfulness is upon our children and grandchildren. His faithfulness is in all generations, and we praise God for that. Now that is the source of our thanksgiving. What a wonderful reason we have to praise and thank God. What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him for the blessings we received yesterday? What if? He could withdraw, but he doesn't. And that is reason to be so grateful. I would say humbly grateful. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, O Lord, help us to be thankful for that you do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. No, God is absolutely, perfectly good. And may this encourage us and give us strength and joy as we go into the week and into our rest of the life. Thank you. Amen.